The glorious church is a reflection of God's beauty, character, and nature. The glorious church is God's workmanship, created for good works, light for a dark world, and salt for the earth. The glorious church must be pure and impactful, for it is the only institution mandated to bring life and hope to the nations. Plug in to the annual theme of the Church of Pentecost for 2020, a glorious church to possess the nations. Come, let us drink deep from the word through which we are being cleansed and washed to become a radiant church. Welcome to Pentecost Hour, God's timely word for our dying world.
Praise the Lord. Many thanks to the Almighty God for yet another day. And another opportunity to hear from the Master's mouth. And to sit at the Father's table. Now we are saying that the elders of the church are not just to create a spiritual atmosphere for God to encounter his people, but they are also supposed to feed the flock.
And yes,
so we have been looking at how Jesus fed the flock when he was around. So we looked at the pattern and we have taken some lessons from the pattern. One of which we have started dealing with is when he asked the disciples, let them sit down. Now, we are saying that all of us from different backgrounds, when we come into Christ, we are one. When at the Master's table, these barriers, the differences should be effectively destroyed. Now, brothers, Christ knew the kind of church he was going to build. He knew that he was going to call men and women from different backgrounds and different places. So even before he mounted the cross, he prayed for the unity of the church. And on the cross, he dealt with the dividing wall of hostility. But as the church, we need to implement that. We must have to work at it so that his prayer and the work that he has done on the cross will be manifested in us.
And he said, yeah, sorry. As I say, you heard your man, dear, or yeah, I was saying, you know, so an empire or boy, you know, a bed that you heard the hour, sorry.
So in Ephesians chapter 4 last week, we studied that there are certain qualities that we will need as believers to be able to help us to forge the unity of the Spirit.
Now, and see, yes, yeah, now, church, you say, say, yeah, did you have, you know, near maybe or no more, as I say, yes, yeah.
Now, to keep the unity of the Spirit, as you say. Because we are one in the Spirit. But we have to make effort to keep that unity of the Spirit. May I remind you, let's read Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, read verse 1 and
2.
As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble, gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And the reason is simple. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. But he said, each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So we're saying that these qualities of humility and gentleness and patience are things we need, are attitudes we need, to be able to manage and contain one another. Last week we began with humility. And then let me say that we said humility is to consider others better than yourself. That don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Because in the body it is a great house. And everyone is called. Whosoever believes in Christ is called to be part of the body. And because he has given us graces, you don't have to think that you are better than your brother. And don't think that you know it all. That is not the spirit of the believer. Humility. So that God resists the proud, but give grace to the humble. We need to humble ourselves one to another, that the Lord will lift us up in due time. So humility is needed for the unity of the Spirit. Now this evening we will continue with maybe some other attributes. Let's start with gentleness. So verse 2 of Ephesians 4 says that be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. So if the time permits us, we shall look at gentleness, patience, and then especially bearing with one another in love. And then maybe we'll bring the matter or the teachings on let them sit to maybe a close, and we'll continue from one of the patterns.
And they said,
yeah, that pattern of have them
sit.
We may bring it to a close tonight.
Now,
be gentle. Believers are to be gentle in how we treat one another.
And carry
this gentle spirit in worship. Gentleness is having control over your soul. Now having control over your soul, your emotions, your will, and your mind. Gentle people have control over their soul. They have control over their emotions. They do not just allow their mouth to let out anything that comes in their mind. They are honorable. Gentle people are respectable. So can you imagine that even in the body of Christ, all of us are gentle, then we'll be respecting one another. Gentleness is being easily managed. So when someone is easily handled or managed, that person is a gentle person. Gentle people are very accommodating. They are docile and they are not noisy. You see, there are certain people when they are coming to your house, before they get to the gate, you hear that they are coming. You start making noise and shouting, "Hey, are you there?" You know, these people, they are not gentle. They are not noisy. They are not noisy in character. Not easily noticed. And sometimes they don't want to be noticed. So to the extent that they just do not want to be at the forefront. So if you don't give them that space, they really do not worry. So when you have people with gentle spirit, nobody fights for leadership.
You
see, they are people of few words. And because they are people of few words, most of them, not when they open their mouth, they speak so much wisdom. That is why they are honorable and very respectable people. But I said that gentleness is having control over your soul. 1 Thessalonians 4:4. That each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Each of you, each member of the body of Christ, all members in the local church, should learn how to control his or her own body in a way that is honorable and holy. You control your own body. Don't let your mouth go. Control it in a way that is honorable and holy, in a way that is respectable. Don't just be throwing your hands. Control your own body. Gentle people are in charge of their soul. They are in charge of their soul. I said they are people of few words and they speak well, because they don't, their words do not hurt. Gentle people do not really cause confusion in meetings. They do not. In fact, they don't like places where there's so much strife. We need gentle words and gentle manners to hold the unity of the body of Christ. We need gentle words, gentle manners to hold the unity of the body of Christ. Proverbs chapter 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Gentle word turns away wrath. Now when we have people who speak well,
yes,
and they are gentle, they are able to hold the body together. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Do not let. It means you must have control over your mouth. See, people who are not gentle, they are always apologized. Because they are not in control over their soul. Unwholesome thought comes into them. And before you say Jack, he himself, he has let the word out before you realize that I shouldn't have said it. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up. Building other believers up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So when the gentle person is speaking, he is careful what he says. He will say only that which is helpful for the building up of other believers and meeting their needs, that which is also beneficial for those who listen to him. We need gentle words, gentle manners to hold the unity of the body of Christ. Galatians 6:1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore the person gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. That gentle person, he restores. You see, when they are in communities, they don't want people to fall off. They don't desire people are hurt. So he says that they are the kind of people who restore people into fellowship gently. See, it's like Barnabas. They are men of encouragement. Some of the believers couldn't contain Saul. But he still managed to bring Saul. When Saul rejected John Mark,
say,
if you don't like him, you give him to me. Then later on, Paul says that John Mark is of great help to me. We need that Barnabas spirit. Gentle people. They are really encouraging. The next quality that we need from Ephesians
4
is patience. Patience is an ability or willingness to suppress restlessness or annoyance. They suppress restlessness and annoyance. You see, in this life, people can cause you to be annoyed. So if you want to be annoyed all the time,
it is obvious you
spoil your face.
Don't
you try to be smiling? Somebody will by all means do something that they
have.
Especially in the body of Christ.
That,
because we have come from different backgrounds. When people are confidently speaking lies, and you are aware, you get angry. But you see, before he became a Christian, he was confidently telling lies. And then he came to the church with that confident ability to tell lies. He needs somebody to help him to stay. So that the word of God will work on him. We need patience. Real patience. Now, patience is being temperate. See, temperate and temperature are of the same root. Being temperate. You see, they are not affected by pressure within or pressure without. They are not affected by pressure within them or pressure without. They are constantly the same.
See,
they are constantly the same. These are people who are patient. And we need such qualities to keep the unity of the Spirit. Patience dwell together with hope. People who are patient, they are hopeful. Because they are hopeful, they give some room for people to maybe sometimes even make mistakes. And hope does not disappoint. So patience does not disappoint. Patience does not despair over anyone. Or any situation. Patience does not despair over anyone.
And
any situation or anything. 2 Timothy 4:5.
2 Timothy 4:5.
But you.
Now
that is a contrast. Keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. What I like is but you. Keep your head. Keep your head. That is to say, don't lose your head. Certain people, they tend to lose their head. Because of what they heard. Then they lose their head. Then they will be searching for where their head is. He said, as for you,
I say, oh dear,
keep your head. Keep your head. Be patient in every situation. And endure hardship. Endure hardship. I said that patience is the bedrock of endurance. Keep your head. Keep your head. Keep your head. Be patient. Now let's go to bearing with one another. Bearing with one another. This is a big one. And please listen with all the attention that you can give. See, Ephesians chapter 4 encourages us to bear with one another in love. Certainly in the group of people of different backgrounds and training, there will be some kind of behavior that need to be accommodated. Now, to keep the unity of the Spirit, when it doesn't contravene the fundamentals of the gospel. Now, all any behavior and what people say, what people like, if it doesn't contravene with the gospel, the core message of the gospel, then we must try to bear with one another. Now listen to me, please. Bearing with one another is making concessions or some allowance for the weak. When we say bear with one another, so we are saying that make some concessions, make some allowance for the weak. In Acts chapter 15, the issue that was brought before the apostles and the elders was circumcision. But see, when the decision was taken, this is how they carried maybe their decision. This is the decision they arrived at. They added certain things. So apart from the circumcision, their decision brought in some other issues, and I want us to look at that. Acts chapter 15, I read 19, 20, 21. This is James, the brother of Jesus, who was presiding over the church in Jerusalem at the time. So Peter was there, Barnabas was there, Paul was there, and Silas and the others. And the Jews were there, those who were opposing, and not that they were there.
Petro, Silas, Yakubu. Anyone I can in one that was sorry tia a sorry no any adina na woho brasa yakubu yi edi a sorry so.
Now it is my judgment therefore.
Ain't he masama me what can
that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God.
Wong ha wonga will free a mamma no mu adania banyakupon
that we should not make it difficult.
And just say your money yet ding.
If you don't want to make it difficult,
then
you must make some concession.
And then say would you jan munka.
So look at the language he's using. Instead, we should write to them. Telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols.
When you were home free a bosom FDA.
The issue that came before them was not about food polluted by idols. From sexual immorality, which was very, very prevalent among the Gentile world. From the meat of strangled animals and from blood. The next verse. Four. The law of Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in the synagogue on every Sabbath.
Now, if it is no, and Moses were one hour, what can in some incroyinemu, now what can kind no shia da mu omidaina.
Now, his reason for adding the strangled animals, the blood, and all that, he is in verse 21. He says, four.
Dientia.
The law of Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times. We have been preaching about this, that we, as for Jews, we don't like strangled animals. We hate blood. We have been preaching about this. So around this time, if we don't make some concession for the Jews, you cannot have them. Na, so make some concessions.
Na efritite and the Mosemre ya kamwa semwa wa shia demu humi debia se yenkum yen nimwa ati se se yenye we na se yen to me amma ekwenbia medahwa a mamma mufono yenyawon.
The Jews.
Jewfono.
The Jews. You see, this one is a concession for the Jews. The circumcision was a concession for the Gentiles.
Saying that
it is not necessary. But you too should make some concessions. So both the Jews and the Gentiles were to make some concessions. And the Gentiles should abstain from certain things so not to give unnecessary offense either to the Jew, the Jewish believers, or to the unbelieving Jew.
Now,
that was also to avoid unnecessary persecution from the Jews. Now, this decision probably was also to make it easier to break bread together as the custom of the early church was. Now, if you are going to eat together and we chimoja, so make space so that we can eat together. So let them abstain from blood.
Hey, Bisua, sir, I drink with you. Or five, said a bayer mre, a majin for any a mamma mufoin to me a shia, a waponoa, or bet to me a didia, or be and two obesin tibia.
So, in the unity of the body,
eti wa nipediano cruyamuno,
we need to endeavor to hold the church together.
As I say, a bomb or didn't say you be cry a sorry no boom.
Sometimes we need to make some concessions when it doesn't go against the fundamentals of the gospel. So we can accommodate our brothers. In Romans chapter 14, see, by this time, the Apostle Paul was almost about to depart. And by this time, his message of saved by grace is well concretized. I don't think there were people had too much issue with saved by grace. So Paul calls for mutual acceptance between the strong in faith and the weak in faith. So on trivial matters like questions of Jewish food laws and observance of days, these ones are not core. So he says that in these matters, make concessions. Now we need to bear with one another. But we have to be careful. Some of us are overbearing. You must also try and then not to be overbearing, because we need the unity, all of us, to try and be part of the effort making in getting the church together.
Romans 14.
Very important chapter for this study. I'll quickly go through them. Accept the one whose faith is weak, without quarrying over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything, must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does. For God has accepted them. If it's about food and drink, this one is not necessary. If his faith is telling him that he should just settle with vegetables and not to eat meat, like Moses said, say, don't worry. Give space for him. Verse 4. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? So he's saying that every member of the body is Christ's servant. So don't go about judging because of what we eat, what we wear.
Now verse 5.
One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. This, of course, is on the Sabbath. If people are saying that still we should keep the Sabbath, and others are saying that, oh, we can worship on the Lord's Day. He says that don't quarrel over this.
It is Obi Adrian, he said, as I say, you did humidano. Now, of course, so Adrian, he said, Eradida, and I say, Okwa Soria, or say, my young Kuosan, you may.
For God is spirit.
If you say, Yamia,
they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Now, when I was sorry, he said, I was sorry, whom in Ukraine.
It cannot be contained in a day.
To me, and Fanisha,
a double or in a place.
And now, what be about
it? He says, don't fight over this.
Let
those who worship on this on Saturday worship. Let those who want to worship on Wednesday, let them worship.
Verse
6. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord. For they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to the Lord. Let's go to verse 14. I'm convinced.
Meaning.
Okay, let's take 13 before. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Sometimes we speak and we spite people, we speak behind them, passing judgment just because of their hairstyle, of the dress they wear, of the certain trivial matters.
Please.
You see, instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister.
Seventeen.
For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. You see, it's not about eating vegetables or eating goat meat. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is what the kingdom of God is. It's not a matter of eating and drinking. So don't let us quarrel on days over days and what we will eat and wear. Because anyone who serves Christ,
if he said they are awesome Christ, no,
in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. This one, the tree is better. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean. But it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. You know that this brother cannot stand you eating meat of a strangled animal. He just cannot. He's weak in faith. Don't go and buy the food and then eat in front of him. He says that is not too good.
It
is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall.
Yes,
So this is about making concessions. Giving room for the weak. Giving room for the weak. And showing understanding. Showing understanding of situations. Showing understanding and brotherly love. What do we do as brothers in the Lord then? You see, in our heart, Christ has made some provision for us to be able to accommodate one another. Romans 5 verse 5. I want us to read together wherever you are. Romans chapter 5. And verse 5.
Romans 5 verse 5.
And hope does. Now let's start again from the NIV. And hope does not put us to, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
Now and it has one shiny woe. If we say one amum crunkra, what the amay and so no echo yanko pondo egunyakum.
So apart from the work on the cross,
it is a wuyi asen yan huajumani sinche.
Apart from the prayer he prayed before you went on the cross.
Na wuyi impaya or boy and sana oka asenya susi.
Apart from the intercessory prayer that he is constantly making for us.
And now we impaya ogusu edi emayan.
And what the elders to do by helping us unite by doing giving us good teachings. In every believer's heart, Christ has poured the love of God in our hearts. So when we want to operate, let's operate from that perspective. That there is the love of God in our hearts that is able to accommodate my brother's failing and weakness. There are certain people who sometimes they will say that as for me, I can't stand this. You can stand it because that love of God in your heart can cause you to stand. We need to make concessions and accommodate one another. Now, what do we do? We must know that we have come together and then we must help one another. So number one, we need to see value in one another by recognizing the graces upon one another. See value in your brother and recognize the grace that is on him. Ephesians 4 verse
7.
Number two, we need to honor one another. We need to honor one another. Romans 12, verse 10. Number three, share each other's burden. Share each other's burden. Galatians 6, verse 2. Then encourage one another. Let's encourage one another. Hebrews chapter 3. From verse 12 to 13. Let's encourage one another. The next is to exhort, teach, and admonish one another. Yeah. Exhort, teach, encourage one another. Either through the ministry of teaching or singing praises and singing spiritual songs. Ephesians 5, 19 through 21. Colossians 3:16. Love one another. John 13:30. We need to serve one another. We need to serve one another. John 13:11. We need to support one another. We need to support one another. Acts 2:45. We need to support one another. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for one another. 2 Thessalonians 2:5. Now we need to spur one another on. We need to spur one another on. Colossians 4:17. Where the Apostle Paul was writing and saying that, tell this man to try and finish his ministry. Let us spur one another on. The next, we need to rejoice with one another and mourn with one another. Rejoice with one another, mourn with one another. Romans 12:15. Now the last one. You're just to conclude. Because you can still add what we should do to one another. But I want to say this. Be everything for one another. Do to one another. Do to one another what you want the other person to do for you. Be everything to one another. Because we are brothers. Because we are brothers. We are of the same family. And we need to unite and fight the devil. And make the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our God. There's a race that we must run. There are victories to be won. We need to try and sit at the master's and as brothers, let us work hard at the unity of the spirit, making concession for one another's failure, being gentle and patient, being very humble, and living the life that we have been called a life of holiness. I pray that these teachings help us as a church, as a family, that we will be able to forge the unity of the Spirit. God bless us all.